On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I wish you all were here.
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No.
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as loud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Hello, good listener, and welcome to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. Rob over there.
Hey.
Matt over here.
I'm loving the Bob Marley in there.
Bob Marley, yeah, stepped up just a little bit, right? A little extra pace to it. That band, local to the GTA, called The Salads.
Really?
Tune's called Get Loose.
Yeah, well, I've heard the tune, I just...
Yeah. You can hang out with us. Find all the archives, all the old episodes at tallcanaudio.com, at tallcanaudio on Twitter, facebook.com/tallcanaudio. Just pump tallcanaudio into your Google machine and do everything that comes up.
But don't do that until after you listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
He's not suggesting run and do it now.
No. Please, God, no. Stay with us.
But feel free to do it afterwards.
Absolutely. And if you are one of those multitasking folks that is capable of doing more than one thing at a time, I'm not one of you, but by all means, you know, go do that. So just me or the headphones a little low today?
That's just you, man.
Okay, well, we're both going up, so that's how that's going to go.
Get all that nasal whistling good time.
If the listener gets it, why shouldn't we? It's the morning after the Toronto Maple Leafs managed to stay alive in Boston, just barely.
That's what you should have entered with. Yeah.
Staying alive. Staying
alive. Well, I can tell by the way you use your walk.
You're a Bruins man. No yeah. Time to talk.
You've taken it in the back door.
Man, hell of a ride. I'm probably, well, there's no doubt about it. I'm more than a little bit biased. What I would suggest happened is probably an even up from game four, where the Leafs were probably the better team. Maybe deserved a little better, didn't get it. Last night, Boston was absolutely the better team, maybe deserved a little better, and didn't get it.
That's the end of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. See you later.
Yeah, we'll see you on the next one. You know what? For the first half of the game, Toronto did everything they should have done. I know you were out. You didn't get a chance to see it in full.
Following, though.
Normally, the first 10 minutes, especially somewhere like Boston in a playoff game, it's all you can do just to survive, right? And that's exactly what happened in games one and two down there. It was kind of quiet last night in Boston to start. I was talking to someone online. I wondered if it was like nervous energy is the wrong word because they were up 3-1. So it's not like they were worried about getting eliminated, but it was oddly quiet to start the game long before the Leafs came out and put up two. And, you know,
send a little jolt into the building.
Yeah. Eventually Boston, the crowd would come around, and for the entire second half of the game, it looked like a certain
well,
other,
when you look when Backus scored and they showed that one angle, the netting is just shaking.
Yes.
Right? So obviously there's a pile of glass getting pounded.
I can't remember now. Was that 4-2?
I thought it was their first goal.
Oh, the 2-1 goal. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. At that point, the game is very much still in question, and Toronto would go down. I think it was Bozak who got the next one.
Right, but if you just want to double back,
yeah.
On the Backus goal, that's actually a bad break for the Leafs.
Yes, it was.
When you hammer a puck like that high and wide, 9 out of 10 times, that's likely clearing the zone.
Yeah, coming all the way back.
And it leads to a breakout the other way, and you're right. Like, you dickhead. Right?
Yes.
You can't miss high. And on that angle, right? it kills any momentum, right? So the very fact that it hit a stanchion or whatever happened in game right back out in front, you're like, ah. And there he was. Hey.
Well, it was the same thing on the 4-3 goal for Boston where, and again, I'll be the first to tell you, for the second half of that game, Toronto didn't belong on the same ice as the Bruins. They were dominating. That was just a horrible break on the third goal. It takes a weird bounce behind the net, and Freddie's all of a sudden going, where the fuck is it? And then all of a sudden, it's in the back of your net. Boston probably deserved to score, but you're like, all the grade A chances, they're missing just wide, they're shooting off the post, they're whatever. Well, that's the fucking one that goes in?
Yeah. Like, and if you look at the early start of that game, it's like they switched jerseys a bit, right? The access that the Leafs had to the front of the net, being able to turn that corner and go right to the net, looked like Boston had the defense that you would have picked at the outset as maybe being a little softer down low, right? Man, there was especially in the Janssen goal.
Yeah.
He had all kinds of space and time.
Sweet pass by Kadri, and then all of a sudden Janssen's wide open. Nobody. I saw a great tweet from Down Goes Brown when Bozak scored. He goes, when Tyler Bozak and the JVR line score against A, the Bergeron line, and B, the Chara defense pair, it should be automatically reviewable. That can't be right. Like someone upstairs.
Well, and you had a big night by a couple of guys who may not be Leafs next year, right? In JVR and Bozak.
Well, who've both, quite frankly, not been very good in this series, but both, you know, had big nights to help stay alive, and that's. You know, Kadri came back and they were starting to talk about how is this going to be deployed because Plekanec, who hadn't been very good, started playing pretty well between Marlowe and Marner. And there was a lot of talk that, you know, he felt important again, right? He was moved up. He was playing more minutes. He was this and that.
Good for you. Your paycheck doesn't make you feel important enough. You take a look at that bad boy and go, yep, somebody cares.
For a while, man, it was looking a little like sabotage. Been brought in from the Habs to sink us. But... they bring Kadri back in. Most people assume he'll get his spot back with Marner and Marlowe, and instead he plays with Nylander and Janssen. And all of a sudden, you've got Matthews on one line, Marner on another, and Nylander on a third. And that's forgetting 36 goal scoring JVR on the fourth. Now you can start to do some of those things, right, where they have to spread out their defense a bit. And that's how that first Matthews goal or Brown goal set up by Matthews happens is they send out the Chara line to defend against Kadri and Nylander on the shift before, and next shift Babs goes, yep, sends out Matthews and now he's got some space, right? And it was an interesting way of deploying the lineup and you've split up your guys and you now don't have one really dominant line, but you have four lines that can do it, right? Are kind of...
That being said, though, you've already admitted, yes, and you're right, on paper, that's great what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The finished product was a lot of chewing gum and elastics, right, in terms of the outcome.
Yeah.
Right? And yes, you get the outcome you like, but the product on the ice, man, you can't discount Freddie Anderson.
That was all Freddie.
Right. And then some of those in-type misses and you'll but, hey, man, goaltending. That's the name of the game in the playoffs,
the team,
right?
Yeah.
And so...
And Freddie owed us one of those after some questionable stuff early on. Was a little soft down the stretch, you know, into the final weeks of the season and even the first couple games of this series. Man, he was unreal.
Too late for that, though?
Well...
I'm asking, not telling.
No, maybe. Like, when you come home 0-2 playing as poorly as they had... there is no room for error.
Yeah, when you get 12, a 12 spot put up on you in two games.
Is it impossible they win the next two? No. Is it likely? No.
Right. Like right. And that's all I'm saying is you go, yeah, you know what? Freddie played a great game.
And Kadri, I thought, was amazing.
Yeah. Grudgingly, I like his game with the puck.
Yeah. But you go, again, is it too late? He sat out three games, right? He's a key to our – everyone talks about his two-way game and his matchup thing, and that's all legit. He's pretty good at that, but he's a 30-goal scorer again, yeah. Right? That they have to worry about, and we saw it play out in spades.
Well, and you see it over and over again, too, is he's got nice touch with the puck, right? And you go, that guy's a douche. Yeah. It's true, he's a douche.
Oh, a lot like Marchand.
Yeah, but not. I'm taking Marchand over Kadri.
Okay, fair enough. But again, a 30-goal scorer who's a total douche.
Yep.
Pretty comparable in that regard.
Yep.
Right? So,
yep. A 25% decrease in production.
15% decrease in production.
How about 20%? We're going to haggle and sure. Split hairs.
That's a good pod.
Yeah. Haggle and split hairs.
Carl Hagelin and split hairs.
Yeah. Parting them nicely.
Yeah,
thank
for
you.
Sure. So I don't know what's going to happen from here on out. If nothing about this series has gone the way I would have predicted it to, and I did pick Boston to win the series, but there's nothing about this that's gone the way I would have thought, right?
And
you're still in line for, you picked Boston in six.
Boston six.
Still doable.
Yeah. I look at, and if you extend it back to the close of game four, right, and how that carries over, and watching the Leafs trying to mount that comeback, right, in Boston, the Leafs pulled a goalie, I think, with three and change,
yep.
Right? It was an extended period of time.
Yeah. Babs become pretty aggressive with that.
And it just seemed like all semblance of team play went whoosh, out the window for the Leafs.
For the entire third.
Right? You had Marner and Matthews both trying
myself.
To and it's smacks of sort of what we've seen from Russian international hockey, right? Where you go, "Ah, Christ.
Yep.
It's down to, you know, clutch time and I'm trying to deke four guys out." And you know what? When you have talent like both those guys have and you know, the Russian counterparts. you get by a couple guys, but wham, it's so impossible. And it just kills momentum.
Yep.
Right. As soon as you saw that, you're like, ain't happening.
Yeah. Even if, you know, I managed to dangle past Bergeron and oh, look, there's Chara sticking his giant fucking stick out. And just,
right.
It's really interesting when you look at things in the advanced stats, like the heat maps, they call them, right? Where shots are coming from. And when Chara's on the ice, it's like completely blue on the left side of the defensive zone for Boston. Like he just constantly knuckle or like backhand that away, stick out in front of that, and all the shots come from the other side. And that's
McAvoy side.
Yeah. And he's been amazing. Like five games in now, he's been way better than I knew he was, right? Like I knew he was pretty good, but he's. And so it's not like they're getting lit up on his side, but it's just nothing gets to the net on Chara's side.
Such a smaller frame and stick, as you said, right? That you're not trying to get around 6 foot 11 on skates, right? And this huge piece of lumber.
Right.
Right, with this huge flat blade. You know, it's just like,
And I said it on Twitter last night, a lot of people did, when the Leafs made it 4-1, save it. It's been 5 years. Unless you're positive the year 4-1 joke is brand new and super, just shut your fucking mouth, right? Like, and sure enough, it couldn't have looked any more like 2013. Just lob it out, make a change. Lob it out, make a change. No attack, no anything. Just try and survive. For 30 minutes, it was 11 minutes in 2013's Game 7.
Yeah.
You're going to do that for 30 minutes.
And everybody, like a lot of teams are guilty of that.
Yeah.
Right? That whole idea of we're gonna stay back, we're not gonna take any chances. And you let teams, good teams especially, come at you in waves.
Yeah.
Man, it breaks you down. And that's what it looked like.
That's exactly what happened. Ron Hainsey ends up playing the most minutes in the game, and he's cleared anybody by, I think it was 220, more than anyone else, because he's like, when the penalty killers go to change, he stays out. Like,
right.
He doesn't skate up, he doesn't attack, he doesn't try and hold them in, he doesn't go for it, he just hangs back, and he's there. He played something ridiculous, like 9 minutes shorthanded last night. You can't. He's 37 years old. Yeah. He's not that good.
Like, nice play though on the Marchand attempt. Maybe five minutes to go in the third. Right, yeah. Marchand's coming down the wing, and Hainsey just a la Larry Murphy. Don't do anything special. Right. I'm just taking away the lane.
Yeah.
Right? And he just forced Marchand to shoot from a bad
analogy,
angle.
Considering how much Toronto hated Larry Murphy.
Well, Larry Murphy just left there and won a couple cups. Yep. And is a Hall of Famer. Suck it, Leafs. But yeah, great play. Simple play. Nothing flashy about it, right? But he forced him. Didn't allow him to cut in.
When we watched the highlights before we came in here again, and I pointed out there on the in the final 20 seconds, Hyman manages to get it, and he just takes it to the wall and covers up, right? Like, you're going to beat the fuck out of me.
I'm
going to
put the front of my helmet against the glass,
basically.
Keep my face from getting smashed
and
in.
You're going to kick the shit out of me for 20 seconds, but this puck is staying here.
Yeah. And now, you know what? We're talking about the coming in waves. There was a lot of stuff from sort of just beyond the topics of the circles, too.
Yeah.
And they weren't getting in Freddie's face.
No.
At that time.
They were boxing out. Toronto was boxing out a little better than they have historically.
And so you got to get in front of them. If you're going to have all that, if you're going to put all that rubber towards the net, you can't let him see it, especially if he's feeling it.
When the shot attempts in the third period were 38-9 Boston.
Hey, that's not good.
There's a certain amount of, score effects. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that term, the trailing team will always have more shot attempts late in a game than
Seems like a no-brainer.
Holy fuck,
four to one,
that slant.
4-1 seems odd.
And from the 30-minute point on, like with 30 minutes left in the game and Toronto's up four, it's something like 58-13. Like Toronto just went, this should be enough. And
and the shot stats were okay out of the first period,
yep.
Right? But if you look at the end of the game, you're like,
another 42 save night for Freddie.
Yeah, you go, that's. And so I have no idea what's going to happen as it goes back into Toronto. Anything could happen to me in terms of the way this is all shaken out.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect.
I guess I was trying to get to this earlier before I went off on one of my fucking tangents. But if you were asking me to gamble and, like I said, everything's gone haywire all series long, I tend to think Toronto pushes it 7 and then can't win it in Boston.
It's
kind of my feeling, right? Back at home, Kadri in the lineup. You got that deep lineup again. Plus, now you can line match. But every day this goes, everyone was talking about, I think I texted you around game 4 when Bergeron wasn't going to be in the lineup. And everyone's like, hey, this is the golden. You're missing a 30-goal guy, too. This didn't. Like, you're not at an advantage. If anything, this comes closer to evening it back up. I'm not saying Kadri's Bergeron, but you already had one of your top guys out of the lineup, and it just felt like one of those things where, this is a classic Leaf heartbreak moment.
Well, what's Rick Nash doing?
I got a tweet from Maddie, our boy Maddie Lang. I think it was in game 2. I can't remember. And there was no context, no picture, no video, but it just said, Rick Nash is fat. It's like, all right. That's kind of a drive-by, right?
That's hurtful. He's fat.
He's had a couple of chances to me. He hasn't been a big factor in the series.
And
really.
I'm gonna hit you this out of the blue, but is he a UFA after this year?
Yeah.
Okay. They don't have him on the books for longer because...
I don't think so. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome for sure because that guy, to me, he looks like... And he hasn't been a legit power forward since Columbus, in my opinion.
A lot of people would tell you his two-way game is way better now.
Yep, for sure.
But you're right. His 50-goal years are long gone, right? Like, I don't know if he ever had one, but he had some 40-goal years.
I believe he did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he's getting paid out of his snack bracket, right? He's to me, he's to take Maddie's.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm interested, though. I think if it goes 7, I like the Leafs' chances.
Well, like you say, at that point, anything can happen, right? But the, even with, there's guys on that fourth line that before this year, like, who is Sean Corrali, right? Who's Noel Achari?
Exactly. When they were big last night,
yeah,
right?
They were. And they've been, that fourth line's been big all series. But before the series
guys
that keep scoring on me?
Yeah. Well, and Corrali, I keep, every time I hear his name, it's like the first time.
Yeah.
What?
Who's
that guy?
But they do still have, Krug and Chara and Bergeron and Marsh and Krejci. Krejci hasn't been very good in this series, but they do have that all that experience still, right? That makes it go into game seven.
Yeah,
they
that
probably
sweet pass on the second or third goal the other night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like you would think they would have the advantage, but if you can force it seven, now anything can happen. Like,
for sure. And I don't put any stock 5 years later, right?
No.
In terms of the two teams. To me, that doesn't mean anything.
Not really.
I think once it gets down to that, and I think last night was huge that Toronto could prove to themselves, if nothing else, that they can win in Boston.
Yeah.
After getting smoked the first two games.
For sure.
Right? You go in and go, okay, we don't have last change. We're just going to have to roll with it and still dictate.
And right? They did have enough depth to do. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's too. I know when you throw that out there, you got to fill that in for me.
No, it's okay. Gone. Those of you who've been with us long term have already. You know what? It's one of those things where you could have your heart broken at home and whatever. But if you're going to keep your depth spread out like that, and now you get to line match, ideally.
I love to see Bruins in six.
Yeah, of course you would.
Fulfill
all
my
those people
prophecy.
Standing there in Maple Leaf Square having to just mope home. Right?
Yep.
I'm sure that would be. I was in the fetal position a few times here last night just watching the game going, I can't do it. I can't.
Somebody yesterday said to me, I think the difference is I didn't put the Leaf jersey on my 8-month-old baby in the game that Toronto. The last time they didn't
that's
win.
That's probably what happened, yeah.
And she's like, so I'm gonna put it on. I'm gonna get him in it tonight. And I'm like, yeah, well, it would make me
fed into that.
I said it would make me very happy to make your baby very sad.
To make your baby a loser.
Yeah, along with 17 million other Canadians.
That's high. My favorite tweet last night was, what's being overlooked while the Leafs were under siege in the third period and hung on to win is, Eugene Melnyk was wrong again. He picked Boston said in one of his stupid town halls,
yeah.
Oh, Boston's just going to beat them up in five. You suck again, Melnyk.
Yeah. Oh, look at that guy.
Yeah.
Somebody's rolled open that carpet and there's Eugene Melnyk rolled up in it.
I think there's a certain amount of Sens fans that while they want to see the Leafs win are happy to see Melnyk wrong now and then too. So.
No, we're not.
No.
Because we've seen him wrong a pile of times. This is it. It's not surprising or new or interesting in any way.
The only other thing I wanted to touch on in this, and it's been going on, I think, across most of the playoffs, is the officiating is still just atrocious. And this isn't the Leafs are down because of the officiating. The officiating is just bad. It's just so
atrocious.
Bad, right? Like,
yeah, I don't bat an eye at that. And to me, it's so inconsistent from crew to crew. Mandates change in the playoffs, it seems.
Well, there was two power plays in game four and three power plays in game three. And there was nine in game. Like, how do you, as a team, for either team, how do you know what to?
Well, you look at.
Like, are we calling shit or not? Like, are we doing this?
What's his name there? Winnipeg defenseman who is
Tyler
Morrissey?
Myers. Oh, Josh. Yeah, Morrissey with the cross check.
Right to the neck.
Yeah.
They're killing a penalty at the time. But if you need a better illustration, then you are going to have to decapitate or murder somebody to go down 5-on-3 in the playoffs because they're not calling shit.
Well,
how can Eric Staal get cross checked right in the neck and nothing?
Well, and last night, this is where I will come off as a bit of a homer, but that's okay.
You're such a homer.
There's a scrum between Hyman and Chara, and Jake Gardner skates in, as do a bunch of other people to get involved. Gardner gets punched in the face and then shoved to the ground, doesn't touch anyone, and ends up going off with Chara so that it's an even up call. You're like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
Now, the rest of it, like,
that doesn't seem reasonable to me in any way.
I'm willing to saw off the Kadri bullshit versus the Marchand bullshit, but let's be fucking reasonable here. And then within minutes,
people.
The Leafs are down 5-on-3, and you go, okay, we haven't seen one of those all series. Like, someone should have to. Bozak got called for slashing a guy's stick in half in the first period, didn't touch it. Like, it broke on the shot. Well, there's a broken stick. Someone must have. I can slash
someone. Give me another bag of Marlboros, please.
I can slash someone in the neck and not get called, but I can't slash his stick. Like, it's just.
Hey, man, the sticks are expensive.
Yeah, for sure, man. Oh, it's just.
Put on a Plekanec neck guard or a Yashin neck guard, and you'll just be just fine. Don't worry about that. Hey, and the other interesting note moving forward is, you know, Tim Thomas was the goalie of note in 2011.
Yep.
Right, and then after that, they've gone to Rask, who's got a checkered past, right? And I think he causes a little bit of consternation in the Boston fan base.
He wasn't good last night.
Right. Well, this is it. When you let four in on 20 or whatever it is.
Not even. I think it was like 11 before they went.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so, he wasn't good. And I don't expect him to be that bad again, but he helped us out a bit there.
No, but I'm saying, to me, he's got a bit of a track record of that.
Yeah.
And so that's also something worth noting moving down is his playoff record.
Yeah. Because the Leafs have some weapons. And
yeah, well, and especially if they're going to let him have free run and access to the front of the net with last change at home.
Well, again, like, let's say at home, Chara's going to get Matthews and Bergeron's going to get, I don't know, Kadri, Nylander. That means there's still a line out there with Marleau and Marner and JVR and Bozak. So yeah, well, and it's a tough matchup thing for Toronto if this is how they're going to do it.
And Cassidy said he's not worried about matching Bergeron up forward line on forward line. He's just looking for the defensive matchup, the defensive pairing.
Yeah, and I kind of like his approach. And frankly, I didn't know very much about him before this series, and now I've watched a bunch
former Ottawa 67.
Yeah, I've watched a bunch of his press conferences. He's kind of a likable guy and a likable coach. And he said, there are matchups I'd like to get, but I'm not going to go crazy chasing them. When I can get them, I'm going to get them. And otherwise, Babcock's been almost the opposite, where things get disrupted. He's so, oh my God, Bozak, get off the ice. And that's a reasonable reaction when he's playing against Bergeron.
Yeah, but I think coaches get caught up in that.
I do too. And it's disruptive to, and that was one of the things that happened to Toronto in game five, was they spent so much time killing penalties that Marner and Matthews and Marleau and Nylander and are all just sitting there, right? And meanwhile, the bottom half of your bench is getting worked over.
Yeah. Well, and Boucher's like that here too, right? He is so about the matchup,
right?
Right, and I don't want to have young guys, or I don't want to have that guy out.
Yeah,
and then yeah, it's totally disruptive. And these guys are all NHL players, or they shouldn't be here.
That's right.
Right. Does it increase the chances? Sure, of course it does. And I'm not going to say it doesn't.
Right.
But there's no reason, no need to go.
You can trust Patrick Marleau for 40 seconds on a penalty kill. Right. Like, these are the types of
yes. Exactly.
Travis Dermott plays 9 minutes because he's not a penalty kill guy. He's probably their third best defenseman right now. But he doesn't trust him yet to do that. And so, and again, when Komarov's ready to go, I was shocked that they kept him out. Happy, but shocked in favor of Johnsson.
Like finding a $20 bill in your winter coat when you put it on in the fall.
Andreas Johnsson ends up scoring. He was a top four or five penalty killer in the, I grant you, AHL this year, despite his offense. But Babs, that's not okay. That all we're going to do here is run Plekanec, Hyman, and Brown, and that's it. That's all we got for penalty killing forwards, because I don't trust anyone else.
What do you think of the notion that Mitch Marner may be the best Toronto Maple Leaf?
In this series, I wouldn't have a hard time believing it at all. As in the bigger picture, I still think it's Matthews. I don't think Matthews is 100% healthy after the season he's had.
Yeah.
But Marner absolutely has been, probably by a large margin, the best Leaf in this series.
And do you think William Nylander has looked like Martin Havlat?
Well, I'm probably not as familiar as Havlat on the regular as, but I'm on record a bunch of times saying Nylander's going to turn out to be better than Marner. I'm being horribly pushed back off of that in this series. Marner's been willing to go into the corner with Chara and some of these guys, and Nylander has shied away from a bunch of stuff, right? And I think that was one of the reasons he ends up with Johnsson and Kadri is, okay, someone else will go get you the puck if you're not willing to do it, right?
Like, yeah, and you know what? I don't know what Nylander's playoffs were like last year. I can't recall.
They were all right.
I look at him in World Juniors. I look at him, again, not familiar with last year. Look at him in crunch time this year. You wonder if... Yeah, when the lights get bright.
Yeah.
If that's a guy who fades a bit.
Yeah. Well, and it does kind of, like, he made a good feed to Kadri on one play last night, took a hit to make a play. Like, he was better, but he hasn't been very good. Marner has been by far the Leafs' best player, except maybe Freddie's had a couple good periods.
Right,
now,
and it just seems to me whenever I see Marner, whenever I see the Leafs play, right, to me he's the guy that always goes, he pops a little bit more.
I'm willing to give Matthews a bit of a mulligan right now just because he's not healthy, and he has been killer. He was very good in the playoffs last year was
yep.
on, like, still ended up, missed a quarter of the season, ended up with 30 goals again.
No, I'm not saying he's.
No, I know. But it has been Marner for big parts of this year that's been our best player. So.
Well, and somebody brought up, and just to sort of move away a bit, but not far,
yeah.
somebody was saying, you know, hearkening back to an old tall can audio
right.
conversation, somebody on the radio was saying, asking Pierre Maguire, hey, now 2 years later in hindsight, do you look back at the Lion A Matthews thing and you feel differently at all?
Right.
And yeah, Pierre gave him the big hearty slap down. Right. Just in as we've touched on here, right, the center over the winger and saying.
Well, Lion A hit, he did get to 40 this year, didn't he?
Mid 40s, right? Yeah. He was right there with Ovechkin. Yeah. Right. So.
No, again, Matthews missed a quarter of the season, still got 30. So maybe he would have been in the same area, but it's. I think this is going to be one of those, maybe not to the same level, but Crosby-Ovechkin debates for quite some time, right?
Yep.
Same year, two different types of players. You know, what would you have?
Well, you'd hope that turns out in your favor because.
Yes, I would.
Because Sid continues to just.
Yeah.
You know, Ovi may have the points a bit more.
Yep.
Not in the games played, points per games played, but man, it's no question who has the hardware.
For sure. And I think we're going to touch on Ovi a little bit here on the next episode. We'll get to some of the other goings-on around the first round and a few other things on the next Tall Can Sports. I think that'll probably wrap this one up. Game 6 goes Monday.
Can't wait. It's been intriguing.
For sure. We will, I don't know, we'll probably talk to you after that one. We'll see you.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.